All right. So I'm Sarah Swenson, and today's date is April 1st, 2009, and I am interviewing Mr. Lawrence Bennett, and we are doing this at the Gainsborough Public Library. Mr. Bennett, when and where were you born?
I was born in Roanoke, Virginia. I was born in, as you call it, Hurt Park, Southwest, at 108 10th Street, Southwest. And I have been in the Southwest. I claims to be the whole 78 years of my life. I always called Southwest home. Although I lived other places, but I was always coming back. And the way I was going to start the interview was, one of my earliest remembrances was there on 10th Street, in the 1000 block of Salem Avenue, was a doctor there called Dr. Pinkett. And he was a herb doctor. And he had a hotel there. And across the street, the buildings, both buildings still stand, was Dr. Pinkett's bank. And he cured people there in this hotel on there in the 1000 block of Salem Avenue. People would come in crutches and wheelchairs and would leave them, walk out and leave there walking, simply by talking to him and taking his medicine, and they would come out walking and leaving it. I happened, after I got grown, to meet a man in Norfolk that said he had never walked till he come up here to Dr. Pinkett. That was back in the 30s when I was, well, I moved away from down there when I was 8 years old, so I had to be little then. So that's one of my earliest childhood memories, that and the grocery store of my uncle's, where I tied up 1 pound bag of beans and sugar and stuff, he'd get it in a barrel, and I had a platform for me to stand on. And I would weigh that stuff up for them and tie them and put them on the shelf. And,
can you tell me more about your brothers and sisters or your parents?
Well, I had 2 brothers and 1 sister. And we all come up there together. And my parents, my mother and father was living. They both retired from Michael's Bakery. We were the bakery family. And we come through, and cake was like bread to me. And so we always, times was hard, but we was one of the luckiest families I knew of. We always had plenty to eat, and we actually had too much. We always too fat. And as we come on up, we had to walk from the Southwest over to Harrison School. And when we left Harrison School, we had to walk to Addison. And one of my worst things about it was there was no such thing as a snow day or rainy day. You went to school. And some of my worst memories, I guess, would be them cardboard soles on my shoes, where I'd be walking and it'd be flapping, and the sole would come loose, and the mud and the water would be flapping on my shoes at times. I guess that was one of the worst things I can think of that happened to me. But I survived it, and survived it good. And we was football players in high school, and we, all of us was very good at football. So our names is in the book downtown at the library, where they keep a record of Addison football players. And we played all over the state. And so we did real good in football. And none of us finished college. I went to Norfolk State, but I didn't finish. And my younger brother, Hun Bennett, he went to A&T. He was always called Hun Bennett. My older brother was called Butter Bennett. And those are the names that we played football under. And so then
Was football big at Addison High School?
Yes, very big. And those are the positive parts about it. I won't bother the negative parts.
Were there other activities you participated in high school?
No, not mostly that. And I got in the band, but they put me out the band because when the time to play, I was out there on the football field. So most of the times told me to get out the way. So I come out of the band. I liked the band, but I wasn't able to stay in it. And that's about all of that.
Can you describe your house or your bakery, your family's bakery?
No, I worked for a bakery. That was a bakery, a leading bakery downtown at that time. Actually, my mom and daddy worked for the bakery through my life, and I worked at bakery, and I worked at Kroger Bakery. And Kroger, I would have to give them credit, was one of my best jobs. North and Western, I worked for them. I worked for Kroger Bakery. I worked for the city of Roanoke. And I laid brick for 8 years. And I also retired, put 19 years at General Electric and retired from General Electric. And so that was my employment in my lifetime. Plus, I spent 2 years in the Army. I went to Korea and spent about 21 months of those 2 years in Korea. And in Korea, I took infantry basic, but I served in shipping and receiving ammunition as an ammunition specialist. And we had to bisect ammo at times and work on it when it didn't fire. So that was my job in the Army for the 2 years. And
what types of employment did people do in Hurt Park? What were the main types of employment when you worked
Well, it, when I come along the freight station, North and Western freight station, the silk mill boomed in my younger years. Then the silk mill closed down. And the freight station and the passenger station was most of our employment in the roundhouse. And that was the most of the employment. And it went good until they closed down. All those places I'm named, the silk mill, the freight station, the passenger station, and they changed their way of working at the roundhouse. So it was a lot of, I said, black men put out of work, and the white people. That station, that area up there, Salem Avenue, Roe Avenue, and Patterson Avenue, was built around the to supply the homes for the railroad people, black and white, because you could walk to work. And that was on both, that was, I'm speaking on my side of the track. It was true on the other side of the track, too. But all those houses was very big houses up there, 8 and 10 room houses. And the house I live in now is 12 rooms. I live there by myself.
What happened when the silk mills closed down? Did
it went similar to what's happening right now. But Roanoke, as those big companies closed down, Roanoke back there then changed its system and quit it by knocking Roanoke to its knees. Roanoke didn't take no more large companies in. It was a bunch of small buildings. And when one closed down, the city don't be affected as much by it as it did then. And so we have survived good, I think. And this is completely out of text of what I was going to talk about. I mostly was going to talk about starting on 5th Street, Southwest. Marita Bakery was on the corner there at Salem Avenue and 5th Street.
Is that where your parents worked?
No, that was Marita Bakery. Then Johnson Chevrolet Automobile Company was across the street. Then you go up one block Kroger Bakery was on that corner. And then houses was on the left-hand side of Salem Avenue going up there. Then you're going up where the Salvation Army is now. Was houses up there. Then Mary's store was on the next corner. London Contractor was across the street. And then houses was up there. The next block was where Dr. Pinkett's place was. And the next block was Gosh Brothers Dairy. And the next block, well, as far as I know, the first Kroger store was in Roanoke, was there. That was in about 1940. Milk-O-Mac was out there on 13th Street between Patterson and Roar. And Kroger moved from 12th Street and Salem Avenue to 12th Street and Patterson Avenue. Then he moved from Patterson Avenue and 12th Street to the 11th Street in Northwest where United Rent All is now. And from there, they moved up to 19th Street. That was the history of Kroger coming up in Roanoke. And
was Kroger one of the important businesses? Or
yes. Mm-hmm.
Were there some other important businesses?
Gosh Brothers was busy. Let's see, whatever employment. Two employments was restaurants at that time, the Commodore Inn and Norma Inn. And the black guys worked there mostly hopping curious, waiting on the cars. And back there then, you could drink beer in your car. And people sit there and drink till they got drunk as they wanna, then drove on home with the tray hang on the car. But it wasn't, the automobiles wasn't on the street that's out there now. And that's the way it was. And they had barbecues. I worked at Norman Inn when I was a teenager. And had an outdoor grill, a rotisserie grill, and he'd put hams and beef roasts on it, and they would rotate with the juices and put the gravy on. Then he would slice that barbecue. He was from West Virginia. I worked for him, so I know this, other people don't. But he went to North Carolina and learned the barbecue and come back to Roanoke. Ralph Peters was his name. That's about all I know on that story. And then Julius Fishman was out there on 13th Street, the richest man in Roanoke. He bought Mills Mountain and gave it to the city. He owned the Roanoke Times. He also owned Channel 7. He owned WDBJ and Channel 7. His son dropped dead in Washington, getting Channel 7 on TV, getting the permission to open up Channel 7. And so he bought Mills Mountain. And I think one of the Fishman ladies is living now. This year, no, I won't go into it. But the one to open a restaurant on Mills Mountain, she shook her head.
So they were an influential family as well?
They was the richest family in Roanoke. Mm-hmm. Yes, uh-huh. And they lived right up there on 13th Street. The house still stands. And
who were some role models of yours when you were growing up at Hurt Park?
Let's see, you mean the role models of the community?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say,
or your family.
I was more interested in football and baseball at that time, and I guess I'd say Jim Jones was my biggest role model. He coached and he taught us, and we played ball up under him, and he was about it before I went to high school, see, I was a teenager, and I guess he was better. My biggest role model. And he also got me the job on the railroad. And his two sons were good friends of mine. And I'm trying to think of his name. Gordon Johnson, my sister worked for him. I didn't know him personally, but he was a man that started out poor, and he had nine automobile parts stores all over Virginia. And he always stressed the point that he started, and he was a salesman for DuPont. Said he always told my sister he was born over top of a garage. And so when I was about 18 years old, I sent word to Mr. Johnson, asked him what kind of stock to buy. And I didn't have no money. I was just interested in it. And as I said, he was my eye because of these stories I heard about him. He sent word back to me, buy Gillette razor blades and Greyhound bus. And from then on, he liked me because he figured I was interested in stock. And that was one of my role models, I think. And that's about all of them. But
how about cultural events or gathering places, community events that happened in Hurt Park when you were growing up?
Well, the church was the only place we had. Like, they built up a rocker house, they called it, next to it, and that was the only park and gathering place we had, actually, outside of there. And we played ball there at the presence field of Hurt Park School. The history of that field down there was in the early days. Dr. Pinker bought an area out on the south side of Roanoke called Pinker's Cove. And the same doctor I was talking about. He was black, he couldn't live in the area, but he bought the property and rented it to white folks. As I understand, I can't remember that part. But anyway, the old people tell me they dug iron ore out there and they hauled it up there where Hurt Park School is and loaded it on North and Western train cars over there. Then from that, we made a ballpark out of it. We played ball there. From that, it become the project of World War II. After World War II, they built wooden barracks down there for projects. Then they tore them down, and they tore the project down, and they later built the school. And that's where Hurt Park School come to that area. Then the project, right, they built the project up from the school, but the school area, that field down there, that was the history of that field. And
that's where the name Hurt Park came from.
The name Hurt Park come from his first name, I can't remember, I think it was Charles Hurt. He was the first black soldier to die in World War II. And they named the park after him. And Perry Park, they named that after Willie Perry. He was a personal friend of mine. When he was the first black to die from Roanoke in the Korean War. So that's what our parks is named after, was them two parks. And so much for them. That's where, as I understand, the names come from, for those two places.
How about, what did you do for fun when you were growing up? Were there bands?
We shot marbles, played football, baseball. I told you my life was mostly sports. I went to work when I was 11 years old, and I worked all my life up till I retired. So I missed out on a lot of activity for it, so go as far as fun by working all the time. But I still had plenty of fun. But I go to school, play football, then leave and go to work, and then go back the next day. I wasn't that smart in school, but I lived good.
Can you talk about school?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about your young school life? Did you go to the Herd Park?
Herd Park,
no. No, because it was different.
Herd Park, I was grown, an old man, before they ever built Herd Park. I walked from Addis to Harrison. Walked from where I lived up in Southwest over to Harrison. And the only thing at Harrison we did was went to school at Harrison. And then when I got in Addison, my brother played football, and he was real good at it. So naturally, I wanted to play. And I started playing, and I played 4 years of ball there. And I made a lot of friends all over town. And I enjoyed high school. That was one of the better parts of my life. And so,
do you have any memorable high school experiences or football experiences?
Let's see. One of my worst experiences was I played at Armstrong High in Richmond. They beat us 81-0. Then in 46, my first year, all the guys come back from the Army, and we played for the state championship. I was on the bench, but I had my chest stuck out. it was one of my best football years, enjoyments in football. But the rest of my family was very good in it. My baby brother and Judge Pate used to come to all our games. He was crazy about me and my brother. And he would come to our games and walk the sideline with us. And he was the juvenile judge downtown. So that was something I enjoyed. And No, you were going to ask me something else. Help me, help.
Do you want to describe your home life at all?
We was a very close home life. Me and my brothers and my sister. We was poor, but we wasn't poor. We was proud, and my mother and father always had a job, was one thing. They wasn't real good jobs, but they was jobs, and by us kids joining in and helping, we lived pretty good. When we got teenagers, we would all join in and help my daddy. It's not like it is now. The kids get grown and up, they look for their parents to help them. When we come along, we helped our parents. Now the kids, the people that worked the railroad and made big money, I don't know how they did, tell you the truth. But we never was big money getters. And so I started helping my daddy pay my daddy's house when I was 13 years old. And my brother, he had sighed and put on the house back at the end. My sister bought living room suits. I still got the living room suit she bought back there when we was teenage. When my sister, she finished high school at 16 and went to New York to work. And she went up there and worked to help mom and daddy. And I wanted to make a career out of the Army. But I come home and my mommy, we don't gray early. You can see that now. I come home and mama had a patch of gray hair right here. And I called and told him, nope, ain't no. I had did everything but sign the paper to stay in the Army. And that's what brought me out of the Army. I would have made a career out of the Army. But seeing that gray hair in my mama's head tore me up. And so I knew she was worried about me getting killed because it was rough over there. When I went over there, they was Poke Chop Hill and Hot Rig Ridge was rough. And so they thought that, you know, they was blowing it up too in newspapers. So it sounded much better than it really was when I got over there. It wasn't as bad as it sounded. At least it wasn't to me. Now, maybe I was half crazy. I don't know. But anyway, I seen one North Korean the whole time I was over there. But I was very close to the zone, but I never got in, come in contact with it. I was shot at now. Some got behind the line and come back in and shot at me. But I never was on the front line. And
do your parents have any stories they used to tell you?
Not about Roanoke. They wasn't from Roanoke. As you was asking me my vacations or my enjoyments, mm-hmm. was my parents would take us to the country every year down Chatham and Gretna, and we would go down there with the McCaddens, my cousins and aunts and uncles. They had two farms down there, and it was three different sets of them. And I would go down there and go from one house to the other, and they was tobacco farmers. They raised their food to eat and things, and but they was tobacco farmers. And I would go there, and one of the best things we'd do was curing tobacco all night. And we'd go down there and hand tobacco. They'd tie it and put it on strings, put it across the barn, and make a big fire up under it. Had a fire here on the stove pipe. My flue went up on this side, and the heat would come out, and the heat would dry the tobacco and cure it at night. I'd go down there with my cousins, and we stay up all night curing tobacco. And that was one of the big funds for me. And that in the watermelon patch. We way from that farm, we had to get in the horse and wagon, go across the farm to another area for the watermelon patch. And that's another thing we enjoyed, going over to the watermelon patch and taking watermelon, busting them, getting the heart out. And coming back, putting them in the spring and letting them get cold. And then we eating them. That was a big thing for us. And riding the horse and wagon. And as I got old, I started riding the horse back. Till the horse got away from me, went up under a tree and brought me up. I ain't caring for no more horse riding. Sure.
Did you do any chores around? You were talking about how you helped your parents. What chores did you do around the house?
Oh, all of the chores. And my biggest chores was cutting wood and getting it in and wood and coal at night to keep the house warm. We had a cold water flat. We didn't have no furnace or nothing. We had a heat troller and then a wooden cook stove in the kitchen. And we had to cut wood. My dad, that was the miserable part of life. My daddy, we'd get them railroad cross ties and bring them up there. I guess that's what built me and my brother and them up for us to have the bodies we had. Then we'd have to take an axe and go out there and cut them cross ties. Didn't have no saw. Cut cross ties with an axe. And as we got older, I guess that kept us out of trouble because we knew a man that worked at the freight station, and he would get that oak wood and bring it home, and we would take 15 cents and go over there and buy the wood from him and cut it up and then sell it through the community to get money to go to the movie on Saturday. And that's how we got our money all day Saturday. We were spending in the movie and going up there buying Charlie's hot dogs and hamburgers. And we had our special customers. We'd go to have Friday, and then we'd have to come back and cut that old oak wood stuff. No axe was dull. Plus, we had to cut wood for Mom and Daddy. And then,
can you describe your house a little bit?
Well, when I was born in was a bungalow. And, five-room bungalow, and then we moved out of there. We moved in an 88-room house up on 13th Street. And both of them was, cold water flasks, and even one of them had a furnace. But when, truthfully, I don't know how old I was then, but me and my brother, we went and bought a high water boiler and dug the basement out and put it down there. And for that, we would come back and run pipe to the first floor of the house, and we put radiators in every room downstairs and run the pipe from the radiators back down to a main pipe and over to a reservoir tank that we had to hang up between the josh. And we run it into the boiler. And so we put our own, me and my brother, and another boy named Charlie Carter. Now, Charlie furnished the brains mostly to that. He had did it for another family, another doctor in Danville, and he told us he knew how to do it. So we went and bought a secondhand furnace, and we put that furnace in our house and hooked it up. And we didn't put it upstairs, but we run all the radiators downstairs, and that heated the upstairs. So that's how we got a furnace in our house. Then, as I told you, me and my brother went to work, and we bought washing machines, a Maytag washing machine for my mama. We bought a hot water heater and the gas stove, and we put all them in. We were still going to school then. We did that during, and we put that furnace in while we was going to school. And so I know you can do if you will. And you don't have to be no genius, because neither one of us was no genius. And we made a bunch of mistakes. We made a whole lot of mistakes, but we come out on top because we go back and straighten it out. And actually, we went back and put a stoker on the furnace before it was over. And it come out. And then I took a bricklaying in high school. And I got some lifelong friends I made in high school in bricklaying. And we still close. That's the reason I told you I laid brick 8 years. But I took up had bricklaying in high school, but I was 40 years old before I went out there in the field to lay brick. And when I went to Norfolk to school, that's what I did. I went and helped bricklayers down there. It was where I made my money to go to school down there. So I had a roundabout life. It wasn't that easy and it wasn't that hard. If you don't mind work, I find a bunch of kids now. I tell a kid, as I tell my own, you work, you get a job, and it's not what kind of job you get. It's a job. People respect people that work. And one of the first things they ask you when you meet a person, what kind of work you doing? Well, we older people do that. I don't know what the youngsters come with now. They might come out with, what you smoking? It's good to work. And most of the people I've met, most of the things, I ain't accomplished that much, but what I did accomplish, I did it through working. And I had a good position, good thing in the Army. My life in the Army, I did good. I went up to sergeant in the Army. And I did it from working. I didn't snitch. I didn't hurt nobody else. I did it from working. And it's not necessary to do that, to step on somebody else's head so you can get up. So that's about all I got to say. Unless yes, what's the next question?
I think we've covered almost everything. Is there anything else, any other stories that you want to bring up?
Not now. Think of.
Well, thank you so much for participating in this project.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm glad to do it. I don't know how it's going to sound. I'd like to hear it again.
Yeah. All right.